this is the bad part of a person. Giving that person the benefit of the doubt. That's what a daughter of consolation will do. Don't have a suspicious mind. You don't care about that. You're going to be uplifting, as Pastor Ellis was saying. I just see that as you, the daughter of consolation in the house of the Lord here.
Hallelujah. I see a part of a first responder type of a team. You know, first people that go out, and when there's tragedy, when there's difficulty, they're the first ones to get there and to respond and assess what's happened and immediately begin to get into the work of rescuing. I see you a rescued rescuer. God rescued you, and what come this joy that you have, this butterfly spirit that's been spoken about, and this all that's been said, this comes actually has been dug deep in you because the Lord rescued you and called you. You know what it was like to have God reach down into your life, into the pit of your life, and to pull you up. You have been rescued. And so you want to be one of those who rescues others. And so I see you as that. I see you part of a team of people, not just going out solo alone, but like, you know, right to the worst situation, the worst place, and to be able to assess, and then to be able to implement the skills that you've been given to begin to heal the broken, bind up the wounded, to encouraging word to the captive, to the one who's been broken, to be able to speak into that. You're drawn to it. You're drawn to it. God's put it in your heart. You're going to hear it. It's not just going to be people in the house of the Lord either. I see you going out and beginning to rescue people, neighbors on your street. You begin to hear the cry. You begin to hear a certain sound, and God's going to send you and open the way for you to be there. You know, think about first responders. Is when they go to the scene of an accident, when they go to a house fire, when they go to a place where there's been earthquake victims, they don't look at the color of people's skin. They don't look at the economic status, what kind of house they lived in. They don't size. They don't judge. They're there to rescue. They're there to pull them out of the tragedy. They're there to pull them out of the whatever happened in their life that turned things upside down. And that is your spirit all the way, 100%. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's all stand and start worshiping the Lord. Stretch your hands out to our sister. Amen. Come on, church. Let's not let slack. Come on now.
The Lord's telling me, and this, don't misunderstand this, is he like ordering the Holy Spirit, but he's saying to summon the Holy Spirit. In a sense of inviting the Holy Spirit, not ordering. And so we summon the Holy Spirit to release an extra measure of the Holy Spirit tonight, right now. Breathe that fresh breath. We seal what has been spoken, Lord, and we rejoice in it, Lord. Give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Even when the wicked come upon me to eat of my flesh, they shall stumble and fall, says the Lord. There have been designs. Yes, you were not making it up. There were designs against you. There were suspicions about you. There were concerns over you, says the Lord. The enemy had designs to pull you down, to tear you apart, to ruin your lives, to come against your family, to come against business, to come into your lives and to disrupt things. But the Lord has held up a standard against him, and there has been a spirit in you that has risen up and said, not here and not now and not this time. God has a purpose for your lives. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's a theme verse. I'd put it on something and hang it up somewhere in the house. No weapon formed against you. Every tongue that rises up against you, thou shalt condemn, says the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of God. Stand strong. And having done all, stand, keep standing. You've stand, and you've wondered, how did we stand? How did we get through that? How in the world did we make it? Because the Lord had a hold of you. Don't you realize God has a tighter hold on you than you have a hold of him? It's not about your grip, it's about his. And God gripped you and held you and pulled you together and is united. You're a testimony already. You're already a testimony. You're already a witness. And I just see now that God has given you a discernment and an ability to know these things, where at once it just seemed like, wow, just one thing after another. How are we going to do it? But now you understand. You understand where you are, who you are in Christ, and there's a more security in him. There's a greater security that's coming to both of you. It's already been there, and you've learned it, but even more so. And you're going to be able to do something for people. You're going to be able to help guide them into that place of security that you found. And begin to, in prayer, and through counsel, and through intercession, be able to withstand and help others to stand up against the designs that were against them. And you're going to unmask and expose the enemy's work in many areas. And people are going to know how to pray because they're going to know what to pray. They're going to know what they're praying about, what they're praying, because you're going to be able to identify it. The enemy's not going to be able to lurk around in a masked way anymore. God's giving you word of prophecy, words of discernment, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You begin to exercise these things in an edifying way, not in a boastful way, in a proud way, but in an encouraging way, in a life-giving way for the body here. Amen.
Every building has every structure has hidden strengths. Every structure has parts of that structure that nobody sees, but the building depends on it. And I see you. Oftentimes, people would come to a church or come to a building and the lights are all off, but there's one light on the service area, and they come down and say, what are you doing here? We're just serving. We're giving. And you've given so much, and you built the structure when nobody has seen it. Nobody has seen it. Nobody supposedly has not seen it. And even though you know that people have spoke, what are they after? Why are they always there working? What are they doing? Why do they do this? Why yada blah 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 blah. But God's got your back. You are going to prophesy. You are going to speak the word. But there's a price to that. And that's relationship with Holy Spirit. Because anybody Holy Spirit's going to use to minister the word or prophesy the word has to have a connection of purity and holiness. He also has to know that when there's no one else around, There's someone in the structure building it up. There's someone serving when no one else is looking around. I see that in you too. I see you doing things behind the scenes that nobody else wants to do. I do see that. Nobody sees the engine in your car, but you can't have a car without the engine. Nobody sees the inner workings of a jet engine, but you can't have a jet without a jet engine. You can't have a building without pillars. And you've been inner pillars in the house. You've been faithful. And you are going to start to come out. It's not that you're going to stop doing what you're doing behind the scenes, but you're now going to become visible. Because you have been hurt, and you have been words spoken against you. But those are gone. This is a new day. As of this day, words and things and happenings in the past, God is saying, old things have passed away. That's not you anymore. Your portion is to move forward in power and might in the Spirit. But your portion also is to bring people in to help them build the church. You see, everybody thinks that we're the essence of the church, and we really aren't. We're just the mouthpieces. The church is not strong because of the pastor. I'm sorry. It's strong because of the servants who help and build the structure of that house. That the pastor stands on the floor and it doesn't give away. And the challenge is, in our culture today, there's very few people training people how to work. And so, and I see this in you, it's almost a sense, it's easier if I do it myself. It's a lot less work. But that doesn't train anybody. That's where your patience, that's where your propheticness is going to come. You're going to have to know. But you're going to have to start letting people in your inner circle working area. Let them in. Because it's pretty sacred to you right now. And you're very fussy who's going to touch what you've been working on. Very fussy. But fussy people sometimes do not raise up Timothy's.
It's a funny thing because I saw you two as two stones in the middle of a sandy desert or whatever it was, a beach. Just two stones. They there? I mean, why are they there? And the Lord spoke to me as what I was saying, because they're there. Because you're here. Because you have planted yourselves. These two stones are to become pillars in the house of the Lord. Because you're there. If you weren't there, something would be mighty missing in this house. Your presence here is important, the Lord is saying to you. You're not just like just two stones on the beach. There's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose in this house that you're here. I don't know how long you've been part of this church, but I feel you're a very intricate part of this church now. And what God is going to do. There's a new thing. I don't know if you understand. There's a new thing happening here in this church. Don't look at where it was. Pastor, you are not the man you was. You will see. God has got you here with a very important purpose for you in this house. Don't go nowhere. Be here. You're there. You're here. This is important. The worst thing I think that I experience is people who come and go and come and go and come and go. my former pastor has gone on to be with the Lord. He says, no roots, no fruits. Remember? No roots, no fruits. Let your roots go deep and be here. Ministry here can count on you. We know they're going to be here. I may not preach to anybody, but they're going to be here. Be strong in that way. And God will grow you to be pillars. The pillars. Amen.
Let's all stand at our feet. Amen. Hallelujah.
Something just again about prophecy, because y'all been listening and you're listening. What I've always found in the prophetic is that many times when the word begins to come, there's usually something about the past or something that's current that kind of alerts you, oh, we got the right people here. God's talking to us. It's very important that God speaks to us about the past. That's the nature of the prophetic, past, present, and future. It's always something that we can attach to. That God lets us know, wait a minute, this is personal. This is really about us. This isn't some generalization that's going on here that anybody could grab a hold of. It really is important that we understand that God's speaking to us to encourage us, and that he's not confused as to who's kneeling here in front. Okay? He's never.
Just look at me for a minute. Telling me, I'm validating you tonight. And I'm agreeing with what God is saying, but I am validating you. He's telling me to do that. Lord, we just rejoice in the love that you have for them, Lord. Plan and the purpose you have for them. And I fully release them to be what you have ordained them to be. For your glory, Jesus. For your glory, Jesus. For your glory, Jesus. Ben's up. Ben Cimarano.
The Lord's heard you crying in the night, said God. The Lord heard those cries, and they were real cries. Not just a muttering voice, not just a whining voice, but a deep cry and a deep sadness. The Lord has heard that sorrow. The Lord has heard that sadness. The Lord has heard that cry, that deep, deep cry. The Lord has come even this night to encourage you and to raise you up and to say to stand tall on your feet. You've made it, son. You made it through, son. You didn't just survive, you overcame. There's a spirit of an overcomer in you, said the Lord. You would not be put down, shut down, cast down, or set down. But the Lord has raised you up and encouraged you. Even this night, there is value, there's worth, there's preciousness. There is a pearl of great price. For there is an overcomer in you, saith God, one that would rise up, one that would stand, one that would truly is overcoming, one that would even cause others to say, what happened? How did you make it through? How are you so strong? How are you so confident? How are you so sure? And you will boast in the Lord. You will boast and you will study and you will know the Word of God and you will know truth. You will know how to articulate and to explain the things of the kingdom of God in a way that will become attractive and will become a voice in your generation, says God. You'll be able to penetrate hearts of those who have wandered away from the house of the Lord and wandered away from the church and say, there's no place for me there. God doesn't want me. You will be able to cut through that sadness and that loneliness and that sorrow. And there will be an empathetic hand out to those who have been set aside and have become lost. For I put in you the heart of the evangelist, one who has a burden for this world, a world that God loves so much that he gave his only begotten son to redeem it and reconcile it to himself. God's put a heart for this world in you, a loving heart. An encouraging heart. But this night, the Lord is wanting you to lift up your head, to lift up your voice, begin to lift up your countenance unto the Lord, and begin to look into his face as he cradles your own face. He says, I love you. You are my son. I love you. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. I will lead you. I'm opening a door, open doors for you, not just a door, but doors. But the times of sorrow, the times of sadness, the times of separation, loneliness are over, saith God. This is a new day for you. Now begin to walk in, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
The Lord says to this young man that he's gonna set his hand to things. Things that have not always been his favorite things. But God's going to stretch him forth to go into new areas of activity. His comfort zone is going to be disrupted. He's going to do things that an experiment with the Lord, the things that God is going to set before him to put his hand to it. And people will be surprised because they prosper. It's because my hand is upon this young man, and I will cause him to be like Joseph, who put his hand to things and they prospered. And wherever he assigns this young man, that place will also prosper. He has assigned him to this house, and his house will prosper. He is not looking for the glory. He just wants to put his hand where God wants him to put his hand, even if there are areas of not comfortable to him. But he's going to begin to stretch out to other areas of need. I see him somehow, the young people of the house, the children, the children, being touched by this young man in the Word of God. Good things. Good words. Simple words that they can understand, that maybe the most spiritual in the house could never reach those souls. But he's going to know how to do that, because it's going to prosper. He's going to put his hand to that and they'll prosper. I see a useful young man, very useful in the house of the Lord. He doesn't think he's useful. Right now he feels comfortable behind that cage over there. That's where his comfort zone is. He's comfortable back there. But God's going to bring him out of the cage. And he's going to put his hand to things to see the prosper. Because God wants to prosper the house. And there's a Joseph here. That if he puts his hand to it, it'll prosper.
Don't you look at me.
What are you doing?
I'm prophesying over you because I know what you've been through and I know things about your life and I have to keep this pure. So I didn't prophesy over you. But I will say this to you. God loves you. And all that you've been through is just God shaping you. Just God saying, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. But I do want to just encourage you because God's going to bring purpose in your life. You're wandering around and you're looking around and God's going to bring purpose in your life. Do you understand that? And the love you have for your parents. And I have not seen many young people that are devoted to their parents like this young man. He loves particularly mama. But there's a love coming inside you that will be for Jesus. That will be all that you'll ever, ever want. That's all I want to say. I keep praying for you. Amen.
Bob Watson.
I don't know about you, but you know when last night I thought you guys had some canned music you were playing, but I just want to say to these guys playing the piano, they've been a blessing. They've been a blessing. It sounds very professional. I thought it was recorded music that you guys had from somebody, I don't know. God bless you guys for your ministry. It's a real blessing to us.
We're here all week, Zeno.
Well, brother, I just got to just put on you what the Lord laid on me, and he said something that I... By the grace of Holy Spirit, we're going to try to identify it. He says, this man is a holy bull in a china shop type person. That's what the Lord said. Gets in a china shop and busts everything up. And then he apologizes for it, but then he keeps going. But I tell you, the kingdom needs people like you. Because sometimes we're all too polite. And sometimes we get so passive in the body of Christ that nothing gets done. But what God is going to do for you is he doesn't want you to stop being a bull in a china shop, but he's going to start organizing the direction and the force of that bull. Because there is a sense inside you that you work and you work and you work, but you don't really see, particularly in the spirit world, you don't see the spirit advancement that you really would like to see. You work at it and you love Jesus with all your heart, but things keep breaking around you. Because you're like a bull in a china shop. But you got to start understanding something, brother, because God wants you to stop persecuting yourself for your personality. You are who God made. That doesn't mean you're not going to be refined, because there's no one around that's not going to be refined that serves God. But there's going to be purpose. You're a driven person, but you see very little results. God's going to reverse that. And you're going to start seeing results for a little work. And it's going to be an area where it's going to be very rewarding for you. Particularly, I see you, and I don't know what you do here, and I don't know what your function is in the church, and I don't want to know right now. But I am saying you're going to be intricately involved in working with men. Because there's a passivity upon manhood in this culture today. And God's going to give you wisdom to, just for lack of a better word, to put a steel rod up some men's spine. Because the body of Christ needs strong men, but holy and righteous men, not arrogant men. The body of Christ needs men that will go into a china shop if it's got to be and bust that puppy up. But there will be a purpose to it. Because the china shop was owned by the enemy. And he's got too much of his junk there, and so he's going to get it broken up. So God's going to lead you in that area. You're going to become a spiritual warrior, but God's going to refine you. You're not going to fight a whole army. You're going to pick who you have to fight and defeat that person and go on to the next person. Not a person, but you know what I'm talking about, the enemy. So I say this to you. There's a refinement coming inside you. There's also a passion and a love coming inside you because you love Jesus. There's not much you won't do for him. You'll shake the whole world up. But there is something deep inside you that wants that loving, intimate spirit connection. And sometimes you're very forceful. Because you're trying to work that out somehow, some way. And I'm telling you, brother, there's a breath of Holy Spirit coming to you. If you'll rest, stop long enough, just stop long enough. Say, here I am, Holy Spirit. And that intimate thing you've been looking for, that connection, that warm, because you see, strong men need that fuzzy warmness inside you. Don't ever let anybody tell you you don't. There's not one of us that doesn't need that connection with the Holy Spirit, that love, that compassion, that concern, that peace, that knowing beyond all understanding, my God loves me.
I see almost like a Sergeant Bilko. I don't know if anybody knows Sergeant Bilko, but he's the non-com, you know, non-commissioned officer. Now, the officers think they run the army, but really the non-coms run the army. And they run the army because they're close enough to the men to know where they're at and what their needs are. And my brother, I feel you're in the right spot. You're not aspiring some high office, but you're necessary. You're like the first sergeant who has to be there to be be liaison. You feel the hurt. You feel the need of the soldier. And this is what God's got you, and is a purpose. He's about to be made a general, but he needs the sergeants to help run the place. That's your job. You got to learn all the intricacies of the house here. That means, I think the only way he can learn that, I don't know his relationship with you, but if there is this relationship, he's going to be one that you need to confide in and confide with you, and in strategy, in planning, and how to include the rest of the crew, the troops. But that's what you are. You're the Sergeant Bilko of this fort. And I just see you have a lot of knowledge about people. Nobody gives you credit for that, but I know you do. And you are able to muster the troops for the house. When there's a need, you know how to gather them together. Okay?
Hallelujah. And I see there's, you read and you study and you look at things and you try to figure some things out. There's been a little bit of frustration maybe at times with that, but you do like to read, you like to study, you try to get acquainted with the Word of God. And I just see a new anointing coming upon you and an ability. The Holy Spirit's going to give you illumination in areas where there's been some frustration, where you feel like, I just can't quite get that concept. I just can't quite understand what's there. And God's going to open that up to you and make it simple, that you can, simple in a way that you can convey it and teach others the simplicity of Christ. Not complicated, although there's a desire and a thirst in you for knowledge and understanding. At the same time, I think that you'll be able to take those things that maybe some would say are complicated and even have been complicated for you, breaking it down, making it simple, making it easy to understand, giving bite-sized portions, being able even to make it in such a way that young men, even in the house, maybe young men even outside the house, young men that you might actually have contact with, will be able to ascertain exactly what you're saying and why you're saying it, because they're going to hear how you're saying it, and it's going to make all the difference in the world, because they never heard a man speak like the way you're going to speak. And when you open your mouth, that's going to cause whatever walls they had to come down, because that's not how you come across before now. But all of a sudden, there's a difference, there's a different countenance, there's a different tone in your voice, there's a different understanding in the thought processes, and it's going to break down the walls generationally. And I see you with young men speaking into their lives, seeking you out, looking for that arm to come over their shoulder and say, you know what, this is what I felt the Lord showed me. And it's going to be a real comfort and a real encouragement to those young men. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Pastor, one closing thing I want to say to you, and this is what the Lord said to me. Tell my son that you do not have to prove yourself no more. God knows who you are. You don't have to prove yourself. Just be who God called you to be. Give us a little grace. We only have two more to go. And so could you all hang in with us tonight, please? And then we're going to share and just worship the Lord a little bit. Is that all right?
Darlie is up